So again, we have a rich discussion. Yesterday we focused on sort of the tochen of the Gemara Suffolk, whether first two kosas or last two kosas, and we're going to come back to that. But right now I want to focus on what's going into the Gemara's Psak Halacha L'maisa, the last line. L'maisa, the Gemara says, when all is said and done, whatever the svaras are, we'll come back to the svaras, and we'll come back to the svaras the Gemara tells us about. Matzah, we'll come back to the Ishraq. We'll put them all together soon. But in terms of the Psak Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara says, when all is said and done, either you need to stay with the first two kosas or the last two kosas. We're not sure what was Takanas Chazal. Chazal, Masakin, and Dinah Seva by Matzah. They were not Masakin, Dinah Seva by Mar. And they were Masakin, Dinah Seva by two of the four kosas. But we're not sure. What did Rav Nachman report? What did Rav Nachman say? Did he say you have to do a Seva in the first two, but not the last two? Or the last two, but not the first two? And therefore, Lamaisa, the Gemara says, we're not sure. And therefore, Edi V'Edi, Bo Eseva. And let's read the Ran inside, please. I want to read two Rans inside. There's a lot going on in both of the Rans. The Ran in Psachim. How many Terutzim? Well, again, what's the Ran's Kasha? How many Terutzim does he have? What's the Ran's Kasha? Sadra Ban Lakul. How many Terutzim does he have? Two. Abagav Debi Alma Kaim Alon. Here again, the first wide line. When you're looking at Mar Mukamos in a new tour or elsewhere, you will often see this Rosh Tevis. Beis Dalet Pei Hei Resh. It's worth knowing what that means. That's Bedape Harif. Obviously, in the Dape Gemara, we're up to Dap Kuf Chesed and Alf, but Bedape Harif, Chav Gimel Amin Alf. V'hashti Imahachi Imahachi Kulu Bo Eseba. I forgot to be Alma Kaimel Nipcha. Normally, Kai Malon, we hold just the opposite. Usually the rule is suffered around the kula. So how can it be that we're machmer in both directions? Shouldn't we have been megal? So the Ran says two answers. Number one, here it's not a big deal. It's no tircha. It's not such a... You're not putting yourself out. You're not troubling yourself so much. It doesn't cost you so much. What's the extent of the trouble? So you'll do Haseba. You'll do a Haseba. It's not so hard. Haseba is actually can be comfortable. If it's not so comfortable, depending on how you do Haseba. Okay, you'll do Haseba. Not Milsa de Tircha. So Avdinan. So we do it L'Ravcha de Milsa, just to cover our bases. Why apply Safir Bar Makula if there's no major Sorech? Kach Pirshu Zal. That's how they, Zichron L'Ravcha, explain. In other words, he's quoting earlier Rishonim, who already passed away. Zichron L'Ravcha, that's a traditional pshat. You should just know before we move on to the Ron's about to say, I hold. Otherwise, just worth appreciating, this traditional pshat is the tip of another iceberg. Because it probably relates to a Rashi and Beit Tadav Gimel and Beis. The Gemara has a rule that something that's going to become mutter, if you wait a little bit, it'll become mutter, davar sheish lo matirin, something will become mutter in a little bit. So the Gemara says in different places that certain kulas don't apply for davar sheish matir. One kula is we might not apply bitzel barov. Because why rely now? Let's say I have something which is muktzam yomtiv. Right? The first mission in Beitza talks about the chicken laid an egg on yomtiv. You know, I eat the egg on yomtiv. After yomtiv is over, the egg is kosher. But until yomtiv is over, the egg is treif. They wait a couple of hours, it'll be kosher. So it could be it's not right to rely. Let's say that one egg gets mixed in with many other eggs. So davar sheish matir is not batel. So the Ran in the Dharma is a very fancy explanation for why that is. Lamdish explanation in Parak HaShutfin explains why the whole logic of bitzel breaks down if it's only a temporary issue to begin with. But Rashi gives a simple shot. Rashi says, look, just wait. Why should you rely on, there's not that much tzorech to rely on davar sheish matir in, you need... Just wait a few hours, the egg will be mutter without having to rely on the kula of bitzel barov. You have a basket full of eggs. One of those eggs was born today. We're not sure which one it is. So wait, put the basket of eggs aside and eat them tonight. That's what Rashi says. And the other rule of davar sheish matirin is that we don't rely on safek drabanan lekula by davar sheish matirin. Let's say a mesupik, whether the egg was laid on Yom Tov or on Erev Yom Tov. If it was late on Erev Yom Tov, so it's mutter eating Yom Tov. If it was late on Yom Tov, so then it's muksa. I shouldn't eat until Yom Tov is over. It's a suffix. So I don't know. So I should have said, no, suffix upon Lakula. But we don't. Why? Because Davar Sheish Matirin. Again, the logic, Rashi's concept of Davar Sheish Matirin is just a practical notion of why rely on these kulos? I rely on the bittul, and we rely on suffix upon Lakula. You wait a little bit. That's such a big deal. You wait a little bit, and you want to be able to live without having to rely on the kulos. So it sounds like this the first approach that the Ran is putting forward, it sounds like it's along similar lines. And why rely on says it's suffering from lakula, there's not that much of a tzorech. But davar sheish matir, not that much of a tzorech, because wait a few hours, it'll be mutter without this, without relying on suffering from lakula. Here we're saying, not that much of a tzorech, because what's the big deal? So it'll be masif. So do a seva. Two of the four cups, do a seva. The other two cups, it's not such a big deal. Not so difficult. See, because you're drinking the kosas anyways. It's not that we're saying you have to drink extra kosas. You're drinking the kosas anyways. So you'll eat instead of sitting up straight. No. That's the first approach. And Ran, again, aligning with the other non-Ran approach. Maybe Lishitasa. Right? The Ran disagrees with how to understand Davar Sheish Matirin. Here also he disagrees. But the classical approach is Davar Sheish Matirin Lakula, you know, if you need to. That sort of idea. That's something we would rely on with Tzorach. But we would rather not. Why not be machmir here? Why not be machmir and cover your bases and just be meser for all the cups and not have to come on to rely on suffering upon the kula? That's the first approach. But then he says, but linear, the Ran says, I think there's a, he disagrees with Davar Sheish Matirin, and he disagrees perhaps with Shitaso here also. He says, no. It's not that suffering upon the kula is something we rely on only Esat Sorach. No. There's a more fundamental reason. Again, in Nedarim, Ran has a fundamental reason why we can't. Well, Gemara Nedarim is not so connected. But he says here, linear, at least certain aspects of Davar Sheish Matirin, the Ran understands as being more fundamental. And here too, may not be connected. He says it's not just. Why not avoid using Davar Sheish Matirin if you don't have to? Linear dal karcha chabayel mevra seba pekulu. You must do a seba by all. Meaning fundamentally, Davar Sheish Matirin lakula cannot apply. Why? The ineza lakula. If we're going to apply Safir on lakula, how is it going to look? What are our options? It says we have two options. You could do for two and not for the other two. We'll pick one pair of kosas to mesa, the other pair we won't. My nekel bahani, nokel bahani, tfemiani. Why should we make these more than those? Sounds like what he's saying is you don't have the right to choose arbitrarily. But what are they saying? We say, oh, nekel only the one and two, but not three and four. Who told you to pick one and two? Well, I'm going to go three and four, not one and two. But who told you can make about this one, up and out? You can't choose arbitrarily. That sounds like that's sort of like a logical assumption that the Rana is making. My nekel nokel bahani, tfemiani. How can you choose arbitrarily? I'll say, okay, it won't be arbitrary. We will be make across the board. In Nakal B'Travayu, we make across the board, just not be Mesav at all. Because look, you come to the first, you say, oh, I'm not sure that I'm Mechayv to Mesav or not. Safka upon the Kula, don't be Mesav. They'll come to the third coast, right at the bench, and say, oh, I'm not sure they have to Mesav or not. Safka upon the Kula. So you can do that. Hamikra misses a Sebel Agam. You can't be Mekal across the board for all of them, because then you've for sure lost the Mitzvah. You've uprooted the entire Mitzvah of Sebel. So, option number one, to be makel on both ends, that's apparently too far to go. And apparently the Ran is saying you can't apply stuff around the kula if it's going to for sure violate the din. You also can't arbitrarily apply stuff around the kula. So with those two assumptions that the Ran makes about the limitations of the operation of suffering upon the kula, that A, you can't use it if it's gonna if you're for sure losing out on the mitzvah, and B, you can't choose arbitrarily, it has to be non-arbitrary, and leave the option that maybe you weren't behind the din properly, so then you can't be makel across the board. You can't arbitrarily pick the first pair or the last pair. So then the only option is we're not gonna use suffering upon the kula all, we're gonna be mesiv by all four cups. Yeah.
Why?
So that's a great question. Cups number one and two come first. So, okay, at that point I can't be Mekel, but once I Lamaisa have been Mesa for the first two, the facts are the facts, right? So that's a great question, and the question heightened by the fact that the Ran himself actually does seem to say something like that in Maseches Megillah. Right, so let's take a look at that, and let's just see if we can make sense of this. Right, the Rambam, the Gemara in Megillah talks about the following, Daf Hei. The Gemara talks about what do you do if you have a city. We know that the Chazal understand based on the Pesukim in the ninth paragraph of Megillah, Megillah Esther, that if you live in a city that's not Mukav Chol Megillah Yeshua Benun, an unwalled city, then you have to lay Megillah and Kippurim on the 14th and not on the 15th. And just to clarify, if you live in Yerushalayim or some other city which is Mukav Chol Megillah Yeshua Benun, then you keep Purim on the 15th and not on the 14th. Either way, you only keep one day of Purim. The question is, are you reading the Gil and keeping all the other mitzvahs on the 14th only or on the 15th only? But the Gemara then raises the question of what do you do if you're not sure? The history, to try and dig back several thousand years historically to the days of Shulmanun. Maybe you have a city, we know it's a pretty old city and a pretty old wall, but we're not sure how old is it? To go back to the days of Shulmanun? Or no, only go back to the days of Shmuel and Avi, which is also a couple thousand years old, but not old enough. So there could be places where it's a suffix. Either it's a historical suffix, maybe halachic suffix. The Gemara has a discussion whether Tveria is on, if you've ever been in Tveria, Tveria is on the western coast of the Kinneret. So the question is, it had a wall around the north, west, and south sides. The east side of Tveria is the sea. So does that count as a wall? Does that not count as a wall? So it's sort of a halachic question. Is it Mukav Chol Megillah Yeshua Benun or not? The question of definitions. But either way, you have a suffix. You have the ear, which is suffix Mukav Chol. I think there are those. I don't know if there's a lot of basis for this. I don't know if there's basis. This is a bone, right? So I have no idea. I never looked into it. But supposedly, there are those who feel that there's evidence to indicate that Prague, in Czechoslovakia, is Mukav Chol Megillah. It doesn't no longer has a wall, but it had been walled at the time of Yeshua, and going back again, over 3,000 years. So I'm not sure, again, was there any basis or not. If you want, during lunchtime, you can certainly research that. But either way, Kinyarath is way too recent. Kinyarath is 1,000 years ago. Talking. You go to Yeshua, but no, it's more than 3,000 years ago. But either way, so the Gemara raises this question, what do you do when you're in a city which is Mukaf is Chavos Yeshua? Now, the Rambam read the Gemara, Rambam in Perak Alpha Abdul Megillah. He says, you're in a city, you're not sure, you gotta read Megillah on both days. The Machmer in both directions. That's how the Rambam presents it. However, the Ran, and you have the Ran in your packet, the Ran in Megillah, in Dav Bez Amin Al Bedapi Arif, corresponds to, in the Gemara, it's Dav Hey, in Dapi Arif, it's Dav Bez. The Ran quotes that the Gaon before the Rambam had a different approach. Alone. We have these cities that we're not sure what their historical story is. The Gaon and Paskin. So you follow Rove. When you have a suffix, this goes back to when we read in the year, Torah says Vegas. When you have a suffix, so the Torah gives us several tools through which we can use to try to nachriya a suffix. Chazaka de Mekar is not going to help us here, but an Eidus obviously is not going to help us here, unless you do, if you have really evidence. But the Ran says, look, there's a rove. Most cities that are extant today did not have a wall 3,000 years ago. Safe bet. So, if you're not sure, see if we know Yerushalayim is Mukav Chol Megillah, it says so in the Tanakh. Good. If you have other historical data, fine. We could discuss a whole separate conversation, right, about the admissibility of archaeological evidence in terms of Paskin chat. This could be an interesting application of that. Right? The archaeologists found evidence that this area was walled in and that the Canaanite period, in the 3,500 years ago during the time of Kibush Arz. Okay, so that's an interesting question. But let's see, we have no idea. We think maybe that's not. Out of the blue, there is an old wall. We can't really tell about how old it is. So the Ran says, use Ro. Hol mehen acharo vayaros. Sheru, but in the compass home, it was Yeshua. Most cities aren't that old. And therefore, Karin Behem Bihal. So if you're not sure, the Gaon of said, number one, follow Rov. Now, Rov is only going to help you when you're questioning a historical question. We're not sure how old this wall is. If it's like with Tiberia, your question is a halakhic question. We know all the facts. We know this wall is old, and we know that the sea is very old. Not sure if the sea counts as a wall. There, Rov isn't really going to help you. The Rov is irrelevant.
You took the sea in the Hudson and the East River.
Yes, in a Hanami. There are those who raise that from an Aaron perspective, and you want to raise that it's questionable, and to put it mildly. And then there are those who want to raise, you want to raise it from the Purim perspective. Interesting. The Ron says, forget about the road. There isn't a road, there may not always be a road. As I said, this is an area of the world where there are a number of walled cities that are very ancient. And sometimes the road doesn't apply. Sometimes the road doesn't apply. So the Ron says, forget about the road, the ode, second line. He says, there's a second reason why you should only lay Megillah on the 14th. You should only celebrate Purim, in other words, on the 14th. The ode. Even if this is a situation where there's no road, it's an even suffering, open-ended even suffering. Still, Havalei Suffering shall do Reyem, Ula Kula. He says, forget about the road. You should rely on suffering, drop on him. Ula Kula. Inside of him. Suffering drop on Reyem, Ula Kula. Benimsa Peturos Beshneim. So here the Ron says, Sevran Lakula. Now, how would you apply Sevran Lakula? He says, well, you ought to have applied it across the board. A day 14 comes, 14th of Adar comes, and say, I'm not sure, maybe this is Mukav Choma, and therefore Sevran Lakula. No Purim. The next day is going to come, the 15th rolls around, and say, well, maybe it's not Mukav Choma, Yeshua Benun. Safek Lakula. Nimsa Peturos Beshneim. If you would really apply Sevran Lakula comprehensively, you ought to not have Purim at all. But you're definitely violating the mitzvah of Nikar Megillah. Because why? Because we have there's no possibility that this place is putter from Purim. If I had to say individual who was Suffolk Jewish, Suffolk non-Jewish, so there's a real possibility that he's not chayv in Purim. But in the Jews who live in this town, they are vaday chayiv and poor. We're just not sure when. So the Ron says, it's an unacceptable conclusion to say they're not going to keep Purim at all. They're vaday chayiv and poor. How can we say that they're not going to keep Purim at all? Suffer ban lakula can't go that far. However, what we do instead, lafiga kor berisho part of b'sheni, instead let them read and keep Purim the first day, and then they're off on the second day. So half of this Ron, the second teretz of this Ran, is consistent with the second teretz of the Ran in Pesach. The idea that you can't apply Sevran Lakula across the board and be Pater Lagamre, be Oka the Mitzvah, that assumption makes me both. Again, what are we talking about? Let's just clarify. Normally, a Sevran Lakula is a Suffolk yes, Suffolk no. I'm not sure, is this egg kosher or trade? I'm not sure if I'm afraid to wash my hands or not. Let's say a fellow ate a little bit of bread. Definitely not enough to be full. A suffix whether he had a kazayas or not. He had a kazayas and Jarbani has to bench. If he didn't have a kazayas, so he doesn't have to bench even Jarbani. So he's not sure how much he ate. So a suffix, yes or no. Chayev or Panther. Aser or Mutter. It's typically an on-off switch. So maybe I'm chayev or maybe I'm not chayev. Maybe it's aser, maybe it's not aser. The suffix about Lakula says you can assume it's not aser. You can assume that you're not chayav. But here, both by the case of the Haseba and Abrakosis and by the question of the Purim for this Suffolk town, it's not a question of yes or no, of chayav or not chayav, us or not us, it's a question of A or B. I'm definitely chayav. The question is, am I chayav to do it this way or that way? Should I be chayav to lay the Megillah 14th or the 15th? Am I chayav to Mesif the first two Kosos or the third and fourth Kosos? So to apply Sevran Lakula, that's why to apply Sevran Lakula comprehensively would mean you're putter on both, and that's not really one of the logical options. Because no one thinks that you're putter from Megillah, no one thinks that you're really putter from a Sevran or Arbakos. So it's a question whether you're chayiv to do A, not B, or B, not A. Because to say you're chayiv on neither, the Ron says, that's not acceptable. Where's the skew between the two rounds? Right. Well, the skew between two rounds is it okay to say go for the do A but not B? Right? Because again, by Megillah, he said, oh, you'll read the first and not the second. You can't say Mikra Savran Kul the first day. You'll keep Purim on Yudalot. And then when Tezvav rolls around, you say, Savran Kula, I'm Pater from the second day. Whereas our Gemara didn't say that. Right? Our Gemara had said that, no, you have to be Mesiv on, you cannot have to say, I'll be Mesiv the first two, then once the last two roll around. Elazar had asked that just independently. Why not? Once you talk about Mesiv the first two, why not be Mesiv, why not say, Savran Kula, take a pass on the last two? And what's worse is the Rana actually does say that by Mikra Megillah. He says, once you kept Purim the first day, so the second day rolls around, you can say Sefer HaMekula. You can't say Sefer HaMekula both days, because then you're for sure being Oker the Mitzvah. Okay, but keep it the first day. Whereas our Ran, in Psachim, had nixed that option. Why did he say? He said, Amai Nukel Bahani Tzvei Mehani. How can you arbitrarily choose one over the other? You have to be Machar on both. So the question is, he didn't say that by Megillah. By Megillah, he was comfortable saying, lay in the first day and take a pass on the second day. So why not say here, be Mesa the first two and take a pass on the last two? See if you say like, the Ron's first Teretz here, then it's not a question, it's because it's so easy, that's why Sabron Gunglu doesn't apply, then we're on solid ground. Because to keep Purim a second day is a Tircha. To hear Megillah two more times and to have another student to give out more matanzas, that's a significant investment of time, of energy, of money. So then you say, okay, if you take the first approach to the Ran here, I understand, well, Haseba is easy, Purim is hard. So easy Haseba, you only say Safik Rabban Lakula. Purim is hard, you do say Safik Rabban Lakula. The problem is the Ran said he didn't like that. That was his Rebbeim's pshat. His pshat was fundamentally Safik Rabban Lakula can't apply. How can you choose arbitrarily? And yet here, by Megillah we do. So who raises this question? Who raises the question? Mishnah Nachman raises this question. He gives an answer, then more recent Nachronim discusses also in the Bracha to the Stipler, the second answer. Again, just put up on the board for a moment. You can either do A and B, or just A, or nothing. Right. In Psachim, it's by Bdal Kosas, by Haseba Bdal Kosas. And there, the Ran said, you need to do A and B. He said, you can't just do A alone, no, because that's arbitrary. Whereas, the very same Ran, in Megillah, and talking about the Sheet of the Gaonim, by the Safek Mukafes, a city which I'm not sure whether Mukaf Chom or not, there he says, we don't do A plus B. No, he says, just do A. That's great. Here he says, that's fine. Read the first day. Why? So it wasn't Mishnah Melech, sir. Hey, what do you want to say? Tanya, you got a suggestion?
I'm just wondering, why can't you say the Ran is saying, Fikach, and Fikach is Kai, on the thing that the Goat says, that's real. Since we can't,
yeah, but he sounds like he's giving another reason for the din also.
Well, he was offering that, and he said, no, you're not going to be opposite of the word.
It's a hard read, no? Does that fit the language? Number one, the Gaonim said, you follow the Rove Ayara, therefore you're reading Yudalit. Period. He already said, therefore you're reading Yudalit. Karim Bam Yudalit. Period. The Ode, even if you say it is a Safik HaShakal, still it's a Safik HaMakula. And therefore you're Patra on both. But Patra on both, you're Vata Mikra Megillah, that you can't do. The Fika Karim Barishan Patra B'Shane. So to apply Safik HaMakula across the board to both, that's not right. But you could choose to apply it to the second one. So I think that's what it sounds like. I think so. The Mishnah Melech says, Mishnah Melech raises this question. It's the same Ran, two different places. Make up your mind. So the Mishnah Melech says, well, he says here, you have it in front of you in the middle of that second paragraph of Mishnah Melech. Niradiyei shalchalek ben kishasafik v'takanas chachamim. He says, you know what's different about Psachim? Is the Safik is, what was the original din? We're not sure what the original din was. And not just that it's a suffix in din, But it's a suffix for every Jew. That's what the Mishnah ultimately makes clear. He says, what's wrong with choosing arbitrarily? Why not choose arbitrarily? Okay, several and cool. Right? The first, you did the first, you may sit for the first two, and then you'll come around to the last two. You won't do it. So the Mishnah says, these aren't the same case. Because, sort of along the lines of what he says, why you can't drop. Say it's Avraham Kula, of course, the board, you'll be mivatel the mitzvah, you know you're not keeping the mitzvah. He says the stakes are even higher by Pesach. By Purim, who has the suffix? The Jews who live in that city. By Pesach, who has the suffix? Every Jew in the world. So the Mishnah Math suggests, you know, to say you'll read Megill the first day and you won't read Megill the second day, so that's a valid suffix. And Mishnah says, okay, well, could we guess wrong? Okay, could we guess wrong? Okay. So then what happened? There were Jews who didn't fulfill the mitzvah rabbanan. That's not okay. But on the other hand, you have Safran Lukula. Safran Lukula allows you to be makom on the rabbanan if you're not sure if it applies or not. He says, but Safran Lukula, this is Mishnah Melech's chiddush, requires examination. He says, maybe Safran Lukula can't apply when there's a chance that all of Klal Yisrael are not fulfilling the din properly. It says, if you have a suffix, what was the Takaran's Chazal about Hasid, was the first or last two? So you're going to say every single Jew in the world should be made from the first two and not the last two? But maybe we're guessing wrong. And then every single Jew in the world is in violation of the Takaran Javan. No one is being made properly. So that far, as say, but cannot go. And that's why he said you can't choose arbitrarily. It wasn't just not a question of you can't choose arbitrarily. It's illogical to choose arbitrarily. It was that might not come by Chemihani, you're bumping up against the possibility of all of Klal Yisrael violating the dip. And he gives another example of a suffix, which is relevant, such a suffix A, suffix B, which is relevant to all of Klal Yisrael, and that is when is the Shemitah year. The Rambam points out, you know, the Machlokas of the Gaonim, how to calculate when was the Shemitah year. It may have to be connected in part to trying to calculate what year was the Churban Bayis Sheni. Because we have some information from the Gemara about what year in the Shemitah cycle that was. Churban Bayis Sheni year 70, was it 69? Kind of figure that out. So that could matter in terms of, was this year Shemitah, next year Shemitah, last year Shemitah? So trying to figure out where we are in the Shemitah cycle. That's obviously very relevant. Would you say Safed Rabbanan, if you think Shemitah Bizman is only Rabbanan? Oh! Safed Rabbanan Lekula! So that we saw. Neither Ran is willing to say we make on all of them. The question is, can you pick one? Do you keep the first one and not the others, or do you have to go through with everything? The end of the Shalmat is he discusses this issue, and this is one of the issues that came up in the conversation about the Hetzer Mechira in the late 1800s. And then world-class posting were debating whether or not selling Eretz, the Karka Eretz Israel to Nachrim would resolve some of the issues of Shemitah. So one of the questions that came up is this question about number one, is Shemitah Bizman Zayah Drabbanan or not? And the Het Mechir begins with the assumption that Shemitah is built on the assumption that Shemitah Bizman Zayah is Drabbanan, Machlok is Drabbanan. And then also, this question of the years, what year is the right year, may play into it also. And Rabbi Shechter has mentioned past, he said when he went, when he was a kid, around Philadelphia, so he went to Bnei Akiva, and one of the lines that one of the leaders, group leaders had in Bnei Akiva, where they're talking about Hetz Mechira, I'm not sure what Hetz Mechira had a Shabbos afternoon, one thing they're learning about. So one of the leaders said, Mishima min v'kedushat ha'aretz v'ada yimtza heter. Yeah, the Jews who really believe in kedushat ha'aretz will definitely figure out a way to work out the Hetz Mechira. He said, when he was little, it sounded good. Like, you really care about Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, you can make the Hetz Mechira work. Then he got a little older, he came to Yeshiva. I started learning. And then he discovered that the exact opposite is true. That if you really believe that kedushat ha'aretz is in full force nowadays, and the Shemitah is daraisa fully, then there's no way to have the Het Mechira begins with the assumption that Shmita Bas Elul Drabana, and then let's talk about whether Het Mechira, given that, maybe Het Mechira can work, being that we're only dealing with Yisra Bar to begin. Okay, so that's the classical approach to the Mishnah Melech's answer. There's a difference between the reason why we're more willing to do this halfway suffered from the Kula by Megillah than by Pesach, because the stakes are lower, because by Megillah, it's a question of certain Jews, will they do a kind of mitzvah properly. By Pesach, it's in the Ikar Takaz Hachamim, it's a question of what was the original Didrabban, and therefore it's relevant to every Jew. So it's relevant to every Jew, open the possibility that no Jew has been the kind that did properly ever, at any time in history. From this point on, we can say every single Jew shall only make the first two coasts, not the last two. And from that point on, for 1,500 years, no Jew will make the last two coasts. And what if the Takana was the last two coasts? So that's why that's unacceptable. That's the Mishnah Melech's answer, yeah?
Isn't it also that, I mean, what the Chacham intend when they made the Takana? Because clearly they didn't intend for it not to happen, otherwise they wouldn't have made the Takana. So we can't just say that the Takana isn't applicable at all. But if you're going to say that, but if you're going to say in the Arios Homa, then the Takana still applies in certain places. So the Chacham might not have intended that in the place of Safek, that would apply. But by Pesachim, I mean, they definitely say that the Takana of Aseba by Yayin definitely applies. Otherwise, that's why they made it.
Would they be able to leave right just the first two and then get a problem?
Well, I think you might be reformulating. If I understand you correctly, you might be reformulating what the Mishnah Melech said.
Yeah, it's. I understand. I think it's like maybe like extending, or maybe I don't know. Maybe that's what he's saying. But like just in terms of, it's not just that instead of having 500 people, we're gonna have all the Jews not keeping.
I mean, the whole Takana is not being kept at all.
Meaning like it's like an impossibility that the Chumash that the Rabbanon wanted that.
Well. Assuming that the Takana was the last two. Right.
No, assuming that why?
If the Takana was the first two and the other one does the first two, that's great. But then we got it right. But it's 50, it's a coin flip whether we're getting it right or wrong. 50-50 chances. Either everyone's doing it totally right or no one is doing it right at all. And that's to say that the whole Din Rabbanan has fallen into disrepair. No one is fulfilling the Din Rabbanan. That's a price too high to pay for Sabra and Kula. Sabra and Kula can't allow that. Sabra and Kula can't license the possibility doing something where there's a possibility that the whole Takana Rabbanan is not being kept at all by anyone. But Mashenikin, which just applies to a certain population, a certain subgroup of Jews, those Jews who live in these cities, so then already it's not okay to not fulfill Din Rabbanan, but there is a rule of Sabra and Kula. So you have the right to use Sabra and Kula. Says even if the chances that there are certain Jews who aren't fulfilling the din properly, but that no one has ever fulfilled the din properly, that's already that's beyond the power of Sadra and Kula, Yair.
If we sort of don't mind as much about one city not fulfilling it, so why can't they just do nothing?
No, good point. So I think the way Mishnah Melech is looking at it is there's a svara that's to a certain extent true always, and then sometimes it's true more, which is that to be okay the mitzvah lagamri. So the Rana himself already said that we can't even allow an individual person to say, I won't do A and I won't do B. Because then we know that you are definitely not doing the din rabbanan. We're for sure not doing the din rabbanan. So that we can't allow even on an individual basis to act in a way that you're definitely not fulfilling the din rabbanan. What the Mishnah Melech adds is on a universal basis, on a communal basis, we can't allow all of Klal Yisrael to do something that's possibly violating the Din Rabbanan Lagamri. So those are two different. But there is another way of looking at it also. The more recent Achronim say, maybe there's a... The Mishnah Melech is very appealing to Svara, but it doesn't necessarily fit so well with the language of the Ram. But my knuckle behani tfei hani. Why should we arbitrarily... Sound like he's saying, why should we arbitrarily choose one or the other? So the more recent Achronim make a different, perhaps more fundamental distinction between Haseba and Megillah. And they say the question is not who, the question of to how many people does this apply, but the question is when. And it's going to go back to, it will fit very well with the language of Amayin Dach Mahani Tehani Hani, and go back to Elazar's questions before. So what some of the more recent Achronim say is What's the difference? Think in your minds, the timeline. What's the difference between the mitzvah of Haseba on either first two or last two kosos versus the mitzvah of Prius Megillah on either 14th or 15th? There's a time difference. The question of when. Different days, and therefore, when the 14th, with the night of the 14th, what happens to me? What mitzvah now sets in? The sun sets, the night of the 14th, and now it's Purim, and now I'm a chuyiv in Mikra Megillah if Purim for me is today. But if Purim for me is tomorrow, then right now I became chayiv in nothing. Right? Whereas, the night of let's fast forward a month. It's the night of the 15th of Nisan, right? It's Erev Pesach afternoon. I'm taking a break from Nashing. First din the Mishnah. I'm Tzadikas. Arvei Pesachim. Sarvam Lintchkeit. I took a break from Nashing for a few hours. And now the sun is setting. Pesach is beginning. So now, when the sun sets, the famous passage in Halach Man. The Rav says as a kid, his father eventually takes him outside at the end of Yom Kippur, and the sun is right before Shkia, and he says, Yashaber, what do you see? He says, I see a beautiful sunset. Says, no, what do you see? He says, this is not just a sunset. Halacha, man. That's what the Rav later formulated. Halacha doesn't just see a beautiful sunset. You see Kapara. Because we posit as the sof hayom is when the kapara sets in. The sun is saying that is the kapara is setting in right now. So when you go outside Erev Pesach, halachic man walks outside Erev Pesach, and the sun is about to set. The sun is going down in Erev Pesach. It's about as the sun is saying, it's because the last uppermost limb of the sun disappears below the horizon. Bang! The Hashmasha just began. Which mitzvah just set in right now? Well, matzah, tomorrow. Dal kosos. See what Jesus is trying. Halavai, we should be zelf with Achilles Karm Pesach. And Haseba on matzah. And Haseba on Yai. Are you sure that Haseba on Yai was with Chal then? Yes. If Haseba on Yai is being the first two cups, was the Chal a Shkia? Yes. Haseba on Yai is on the last two cups, was the Chal a Shkia? Also yes. The chiyuvim sit in as soon as the kedusha of Pesach begins. Unlike Purim, where we're not sure what set in, we're not sure if it set in. In other words, by Purim, when Yudalad begins, so I may or may not be chayiv. If Purim is tonight, I'm chayiv. But if Purim is only tomorrow night, that chiyuv wouldn't set in until tomorrow night. The chiyuvim don't come at the same time. So the way some of my friends look at it is, it's legitimate by Purim to say, right now there's only one suffix. Right? When Yud Dalet begins, my suffix is not A or B. My suffix is yes or no. Am I chayiv tonight, or am I not chayiv tonight? Period. Chayiv tomorrow, that hasn't arrived yet. Doesn't I get chayiv tomorrow? That chiyuv is only going to arrive in 24 hours, if at all. So that's what I was saying. But Purim, I can say, look, right now, it's Leil Yudalet, my chayiv or not? Okay. So, we could have even argued, that's what the Rambam said, we couldn't even argue, I should say Sefer Yom Kippur right now. Okay. So we won't do that. Fine. So we'll lay Megillah tonight. We'll lay Megillah tomorrow. But then Leil Kesvav comes, it's only then, that in other words, I was originally looking at both Yuvim. So it's only Leil Tezvav when the possible Safik Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah Shush won't even come. At that point I say, there's no longer open Safik. I really was Karm Megillah yesterday. I was Karm Megillah last night. Safra Lakula. Masha'ein okay.
But you still
have a Chiyuv. I might be. But I might not be. So at this point I'm dealing with the two issues separately. Masha'ein okay. And Haseba, I don't deal with two issues separately. Because either way, it's Chal now. When the sun goes down, Leil Tezvav Nisan, whichever chiv it is that I have, whether it's a chiv I save in the first two cups or a chiv I save in the last two cups, that chiv is chal right now at Shkia. It's a kohavim, not to get involved in the Beit HaShemesh issue. At the beginning of Tchilas HaLaila of Tezvav Nisan, the chiv I save, either version A or version B, is chal. So that's why I'm looking at both at the same time. Both possibilities are fall on my lap together. So that's why we say you can't say, well, I'll be basic now at the first two cups, and by the time the second two cups roll around and say, okay, I already was maybe Yotze. No, because the possibility for being the Kayim has saved the first two cups comes earlier than the possibility for being the Kayim has saved the last two cups. But the Chiyuvim, either version A or version B, are called the same simultaneously. So that's why you can't say, well, I'll do this, and then by the time the third coast rolls around, I already was done. I'm presented with the two conceptually, the chiyuv of either one, they are presented with the two simultaneously, and therefore I have to look at them simultaneously. I have to say, I might not go behind it, I can't arbitrarily choose one over the other. Even though, in practice, the masa, the chiyuv, for the first two comes before the last two. I guess that's the Ran. That's the thing I'm suggesting is the Ran's Kiddush. Right? Everyone has to agree with the Ran. What the Ran is saying, and again, the Ran himself said, earlier we showed him a different solution to the Kiddush. But what the Ran's Kiddush was to say, when I look at Sofer Bamukula, I have to look at the abstract Kiyuv. The two abstract Kiyuvim present themselves by a Seba simultaneously. Therefore, I have to say, I can't arbitrarily choose one over the other. In fact, the one that's going to practice pop up first doesn't help. That's why he says, you look at the board, that's why by Pesach, you can't just choose A, you have to do both A and B. Do the Mesa, both the first and last. But Sheena came by Megillah, the Gaon said, yeah, you land the first and not the last two, because the first one shows up first, and the second one shows up later. Yeah. Sure. You look very puzzled. Why not say it the first time around? Why not say it for the first time? Why is the child day again? I guess the first goes to child day.
Sure, we're going to see anything.
Because B is already on the table. So that's the thing that we're going to see at the front. B's on the table, that means that I'm not, if I just take a masa approach and I look at the abstract chiyuv, so that I wouldn't say it's a suffix A or B when I get to the first goes, yeah, the suffix is A or not. I'm not sure if I have to make some now or not. So I said something about cool. The answer is no, because you're looking at the whole package. Why are you looking at the whole package? Because both chiyuv are already chal. So this is it. The Ron sounds like he's saying, again, debatably, our friend Rishon would dispute the Ron, but they say, the Ron says that what's it called? Iran says that the chiyuv is the both chiyuv are on the ground, and then I really should look at both chiyuv right away.
But you know for sure
you're on the other side. Right, man. I look at both chiyuv and say right away. I'm applying some of the analysis. You're right. This is a chiddush. Is it a chiddush of the Gafarim or a chiddush of the Ran? But it does fit well with the language of the Ran. But again, okay. That can be the chiddush of the Ran. Other Rishonim disagree, but the Ran does seem to be saying that we're looking at both of them together.
Look at both of them together. It doesn't change anything.
We look at both of them together. So then you say we don't have the right to choose arbitrarily one over.
I didn't do anything. I had to do something.
Why not be Mako and both? Sofer and Lekulo.
You can't be Mako. You have to do something.
And then the Ran goes on to say a chiddush. Which in Sachem, which is Amai Nakal Bahani Fei Mehani. You don't have the right to choose arbitrarily. Well, what can you do?
I'm not choosing arbitrarily. I'm not being Makel here. I'm being Machmer. I'm leaning. I lean. And now we'll come to the second one.
Why are you leaning? Why are you leaning first?
Because of my causes to Why
are you leaning?
Right now I'm shocked. I have to lean or not. The whole
tradition of the Ron is to look at them both together.
Right. So you're saying once you're looking at them both together, when you get up to come to see, you also have to look at them both. So look at the first one, and I already did something. So now I'm for sure, now I'm even more of a subject than I was.
You're saying once you're looking at them together, you have to do both. You can't.
Why?
He's saying that the Ron is assuming that we're making a priori decision from the outset of how we deal with this whole picture. The whole notion of saying Amai Melcho Ba'anit Fe'Mehane sounds like we're saying we're making a decision about how to approach the whole situation. We're not doing this on a piece-by-piece, case-by-case basis. Rashi Enochein in Megillah, we are! We said, we'll read the first one, then the second one rolls around. Sort of on the cool. So there's, right? So that's what the Zechariah would say. Apparently, Megillah, we're making a decision on a piece-by-piece basis. Whereas on Pesach, we're looking at the whole picture of making a decision in advance, if we are, about how to deal with this whole system. Why? But this is the Yaakov suggests, because it's true that the events of Pesach unfold over the course of a couple of hours, but the chiyuvim all set in, all the possible chiyuvim set in immediately and simultaneously at the beginning of the night of the Seder. Now, She'ena came Purim, they're not even chal the same.
You can't say that you can't
read
it at all.
Why?
Yeah, but it's saying
that
something
terrible. You just made the second night.
Something terrible.
You're looking at the first night by itself, then you don't blame the first night. The second night, that's when you have an issue about
exactly. Yeah, but something terrible won't let you get rid of Purim altogether.
Then the Ram has to have some reason.
You can say it again, hypothetically. If you're not saying that the first night,
Right, so what you point out is we are walking a sort of, according to Zachariah, we are walking a fine line. I don't think an indefensible one, but it is a fine line of saying that even by Megillah, we do have to keep an eye on the bigger picture somewhat, because we wouldn't allow you to. We do know that it's A or B, and and when the Safi Chiyav Likros B'Yudalad is Chal B'Lel Yudalad, in other words, we do remain sensitive to the fact that this is not a Safi Chiyav Safi Kipat Lagamre, it's a Safi Chiyav now versus a Safi Chiyav some other time. And as a result, a Safi A versus B, across the board, we don't allow you to approach it in a way that's about the Mitzvah Lagamre. So practically speaking, we're going to say, okay, so read now. But the point is, when we come to the... You're right, it is funny. Because all that the narrower focus is, or the piece-by-piece basis is allowing to do, is to say that it's no longer arbitrary to say, once the first one, I was misafik mekayim in the first one, so I have the right to say I don't have to do the second one. It's not, I'm not vaday oker the mitzvah. That concern that the Ran has in both places. You can't do neither A nor B because then you're vada being over the mitzvah. That's unacceptable use of safik rabban lekula even on an individual basis. So in terms of that, that's really our question, right? In other words, when round two comes, when opportunity B comes, do I have the right to say, I won't do it now because, you know, I already did it before, so it's no longer a vada than being okay the mitzvah. So by me, we say, yeah, why not? That's logical. And somehow by Pesach, that disappeared. So why did that option disappear? Because Joachim, who gave the right to make on the second one more than the first one? Who gave me the right? Well, what's the question of a right? So maybe think of it later. Maybe think not so much about the decision-making, as much as they're more disconnected. In other words, who gave the right to make on this more than that? Amai nakal b'hani tfei mehani is a more compelling svara if the two options are chal b'yachad. It's the same mechayev. The same mechayev for either of the two. Either leil tezvav is mechayev hasev in the first kozot, or leil tezvav is mechayev hasev on the second set of kozot. So then, who gives the right to choose? It's not not fair is the wrong way to point it. But we have to choose these over those. They're more disconnected. I was not entirely disconnected. I have a chiyuv of either this one or that one. There is a chiyuv of Megillah, the question is, but they are more disconnected. Harei they're chal different times. So that allows me to say it's no longer a question of arbitrariness to say I'm going to choose to be make on two rather than one, or one rather than two.
It's basically a coin toss, though, for Megillah, which one you want
to
do.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. Is according to the second day in the round, do I have the right to do the reverse?
Yeah, if
I say, it's easier for me to, I don't know, it's easier for me to, I have a major business meeting, Leil Yudalet, it'd be really difficult. I have a major business meeting, Yom Yud Gimel. To be back home in time for Mikra Megillah, Leil Yudalet, it's really, really tough. So it would be a lot easier for me to keep Megillah, to keep Purim on the 15th. That's an interesting question. According to the second day of the Rosh, according to the Gaon, the first approach I do with Rov. So obviously, it's not for me to choose. According to the second one, maybe I could choose. Yeah, maybe I could.
That can be that actually
being
shot that you can choose.
I'm not sure. Maybe because again, they're disconnected. So the my knuckle behind Femihani is no longer a concern. It may have to do a lot to do with how you tease apart the Svar of the run. Okay, I just want to lay out Akasha. We dealt with this run somewhat thoroughly. I just want to lay out one Akasha to get you thinking about what we're going to take up tomorrow. And that is the following. But first, a question for you. How many fellows had a chance to see the Tosasin on Daf Kuf Ches? Some guys got very involved in runs. Okay. I guess a chance to see the Rush, the Rambam. Okay. Let me lay out the following question. Itmar Matzah Tzarech HaZeva. The first four words in Kuf Ches of the Gemara, we were working on Kuf Ches and Aleph. Matzah Tzarech HaZeva. The ambiguity is, going back from the last line in the Sugya to the first line in the Sugya, the ambiguity that Tosas already raises is the very end of Tosas, Dibra Maschel. Tosas wants to know. Well, Tosas doesn't lay out as an ambiguity. Tosas gives you their take. They say, by the way, when I say matzah, I mean what? Matzah and afikom. Right? Okay. And if you look in the Beis Yosef, whom you have in your packet, Beis Yosef, in you're going through the Seder, in Siman Tov Ayin Beis Arachayim, Beis Yosef says, that this, in fact, is a machlokas. Because, not surprisingly, three Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Rush, the Mordechai, and the Osmaimini, all of whom were Talmidim of Rabbi Gutenberg, given in the 1300s, the very end of the period of Bali Tosus. The Mordechai didn't escape Germany in time, and he was killed in the Rite Flash massacres. The Rush did escape Germany. He may have fled Germany, perhaps, historians think, because of what happened to his Rebbe, Rabbi Gutenberg, who was imprisoned for ransom and refused to allow the community to pay the totally exorbitant ransom that was being asked for him, because the Mishnah Gittin says you're not supposed to do that. You can't redeem captives for, quote unquote, more than the market, the going rate. After what line to determine what the going rate is, because of the concern that you're going to save this person, you're paying oodles of money to save this person, but you're making us more of a target going forward. If captors know that they can always squeeze any amount of money they want out of the Jewish community by capturing Jews. In the long run, that's the one that Takanot Ve'etikin Olam. That's why it's in the middle of Masechet Gittin, whole series of Takanot Ve'etikin Olam. So one of them was, you don't allow on a case-by-case basis to decide we want to pay some exorbitant amount for this Jew, because you're going to end up endangering many more Jews going forward. Rabbi Rutenberg. There are exceptions to that, then, and that's a very complicated, emotionally and halachically complicated situation. Rabbi Rutenberg Lamasa instructed, he was the Dola Dor Rashman of the jury, and he instructed Jews absolutely no one's paying these ridiculous astronomical amounts of money, and he died in Eisenach, at the prison in Eisenach. We have tshuvas, he lived there for years. Apparently, they took good care of him there. They allowed him visitors, they allowed him his farm library, and you have tshuvas of Rabbi Rutenberg, important tshuvas. where the byline is Miguel Eisenheim. He wrote that shula in the prison tower in the city of Eisenheim. It's been noted that it's something profoundly beautiful about the fact that at the time, who thought he had more power? Because the aristocrat who was holding Rav Rittenberg captive thought that, you know, he's in charge and Rav Rittenberg is locked up. And Lamassa, it's been many centuries and few people have any interest in that aristocrat of the 1300s. The Rav's truths are written in prison, those we still learn how to yamazet. But anyhow, so the Rush flees to Spain. The Mordechai dies, a young man in Germany, and Hagos Magna. I'm not sure what happened then. All three of these Talmidim of Rittenberg are on record in the Beis Yosef as saying the same as Tosfos. Not surprisingly, this is a position of Ashkenazim. And what? Sarah Haseba Kesha'ofu B'tchil Kazayis Matze V'chein Kazayis Afikoman. So do you need Haseba for Afikoman? The Tosfos says yes, and the Ashkenaz, the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Okay, not surprising. Tosfos Ashkenazim, and the later Ashkenazim followed. The Rambam says no. The Smag is an Ashkenazi, but the Smag very often follows the Rambam. As a matter of fact, the Smag is famous, among other things, for being the one who introduced Torah HaRambam into Ashkenaz in a serious way. So the Beis Yosef says, so the Rambam, the Smag, say only the first Kazayis Matz. And Tosfos, he doesn't call Tosfos, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Tamidim Rav Rittenberg, they say even Afikoman. Okay. So if you had to guess, what are they arguing about? The Gemara says Matzah Sarah Haseba. Apparently, Machloka is whether that includes Afikoman or just Matzah at the beginning. What does it sound like they're arguing about? Oh, it sounds like they're arguing about what's Afikoman all about. It sounds like the machlokas is whether afikoman is a part of the mitzvah of matzah or it's some zecher of the carbon pesach. Who would you think would say which?
Rabban would say carbon pesach.
Rabban would say carbon pesach. Zecher, just a zecher of the carbon pesach. So it's not included, does not called matzah. While Tosfos and the Talmidim Rav Rittenberg, who say you do need a seif on afikoman, they presumably hold that it's matzah, and therefore it's included in matzah sarah haseva. The problem is, and we'll pick this up tomorrow, is that it's exactly the opposite. We will see tomorrow, the Rambam is very clear, the second glass halach and chametz matzah, the afikoman is not only part of the mitzvah of matzah, but arguably the most central part of the mitzvah. The main kiyum of matzah for the Rambam seems like it's eating afikoman, even more than the matzah at the beginning of the meal. And yet he's the one who says, no haseva on afikoman. And meanwhile, the Rush, who is one of the leading proponents of Haseba and Afikoman, the Rush says, I disagree with the Rashbam. I think that Afikoman is not really part of the mitzvah of Matzah, just Zecher, the Karvan Pesach. So this seems very backwards. The Rush, who says Afikoman is not part of the mitzvah of Matzah, he's the one who says Matzah Tzarech Haseba does include Afikoman. While the Rambam, who says that Afikoman is very much a central part of Matzah, he thinks Matzah Zarech Haseba does not include Afikoman. So we're left scratching our heads. What is going on with Haseba and Afikoman? And an understanding of how Haseba works in general might be very helpful in terms of figuring out what's going on with Haseba and Afikoman. We'll pick up with that in Ritz Hashem tomorrow.